This is an ABC Radio National podcast. For full details, abc.net.au/rn.
And you're listening to ABC Radio National in a few minutes. Hello, I'm Robin Williams. Well, global warming is more than a matter of temperature. The villain of the piece is too much carbon dioxide. And CO2, just like smoking, is damaging in many ways. The gas, it seems, is changing the chemistry of the oceans. Coral reefs are in danger, and creatures with shells may be destroyed. Dr. Richard Mateer at CSIRO in Hobart has published his research in Nature, and there's more to come.
Yeah, so at present, the ocean takes about 20% of the fossil fuel emissions that are going into the atmosphere. If you look far enough down into the future, the ocean will absorb about 80% of the carbon dioxide we put into the atmosphere through the burning of fossil fuel.
That's a lot.
Yeah, so it really is a natural sink of all the carbon dioxide we're pumping into the atmosphere.
How do you measure whether it's changed in recent times?
Actually, going out in the ocean, collecting water samples, we can measure the carbon content of the seawater. And by, say, repeating that every 5 to 10 years, we can look at how that's changing with time. And we've done that quite extensively in the Southern Ocean. We've documented substantial changes in carbon dioxide in the Southern Ocean over the last several decades.
And has that had an effect on the ocean that's been different in recent times, measurably different?
Actually, as CO2 goes into the ocean, that changes the chemistry of seawater. So CO2 goes in as a dissolved gas. It reacts with the seawater, and that is making the ocean more acidic. So if we look at the ocean, say, in the pre-industrial times, the early 1800s, to present, the ocean's acidity is increased by about 0.1 pH units.
So going over the last 200 years, it's become more acid. Has that affected the creatures that live in the ocean?
Well, people are starting to believe so. I mean, there's been some big lab experiments where they've looked at the impact of ocean acidity on things like calcareous reefs and how they form their hard parts. And they've shown that there actually is a relationship between the acidity and really the parameter they're looking at is something called aragonite saturation state. In the ocean, organisms form calcium carbonate hard parts. And there's sort of two forms of calcium carbonate. One is aragonite, one is calcite. And oceanographers describe the state of the ocean, something called aragonite saturation state or calcite saturation state, which kind of represents how stable calcite and aragonite are in the surface ocean. And what these lab experiments have shown is there's a really nice correlation between the aragonite saturation state and the ability of corals to calcify. And they show as the aragonite saturation state declines, the ability of corals to calcify also declines. So we anticipate, because of this CO2 getting into the ocean, changing the ocean chemistry, that actually the ability of coral reefs to calcify is slowly declining.
So they're not growing as they used to?
That's correct.
Is this a substantial effect?
At the moment, it's not. But if you actually project that effect out to the end of this century and you look at what our CO2 emission scenarios are, then yes, by the end of the century, you know, the projections are quite a substantial decline in the ability of coral reefs to calcify, of the order of 25 to 30%. But it could be quite a substantial amount.
That's huge.
Yes. Yeah, so it's, with corals, it's kind of a balance. They're being destroyed by things like storms and wave action, and they're continually producing calcareous hard parts to allow them to grow and recover from those sort of events. So it's sort of a balance. And if we're going to alter that balance, the potential impact on things like coral reefs is uncertain.
If they're not growing as much, then presumably they're leaving carbon and various other carbon chemicals in the ocean.
Yeah, it's a bit complicated because you might think in one sense, if we're putting all this carbon to the ocean, why are the coral reefs not calcifying as much? Because they're using carbon to calcify. And what it comes down to is how the carbon in the ocean is changing its chemistry. As I mentioned at the very beginning, there's two forms of carbon in the ocean. One is carbonate ion, one's bicarbonate ion. And it's really that balance between those two constituents that really determines how effective the coral reefs can calcify. And as carbon dioxide flows into the ocean, you change that balance and you move carbonate to bicarbonate form of carbon in the ocean, and that changes the ability of the corals to tap into that carbon pool and calcify.
What about the plankton? Are they being affected very much?
Well, there are other organisms in the ocean that use calcium carbonate in their hard parts, and one very common phytoplankton is coccolithophores. and they're very ubiquitous, found throughout the whole ocean. And again, they'll experience a very similar effect. As the carbon in the ocean rises, the ability for these organisms to calcify will decline.
And as to your next paper, what really is that pinning down, the one that you're about to publish?
What we actually show in the science paper that we've published on the Southern Ocean and what we also look at in the Arctic Ocean is that by the end of the century, not only has it declined, it's actually reached a state where calcium carbonate in the Southern Ocean in the form of aragonite will become unstable. So if I took a shell and stuck it in the Southern Ocean, it would just slowly dissolve away. So this is a dramatic change. So we're not just reducing it, we're actually driving the system to such a state where organisms that form calcareous hard parts will actually experience dissolution in the upper ocean. So they won't be able to retain their shells. So I think the consequence of that is any organism that forms aragonite that lives in the Southern Ocean will probably disappear by the end of the century. And one particular organism we focused on in the study on the Southern Ocean is a pteropod. And it's a fairly common organism, at times can have biomasses that exceeds krill, and it's an important component of the food web. And this kind of study's showing you, if we keep on the trajectory of CO2 levels in the atmosphere as forecasted, by the end of this century, that kind of organism will probably disappear from much of the Southern Ocean.
Well, that would be terribly dramatic.
Yes.
If you compare it to krill is present in a huge amount in the Southern Ocean. And similar to those other creatures, I mean, their disappearance would be extraordinary.
Yeah, so I think the question I can answer at this stage is what would be the impact on the marine ecosystem? Would some other organism move in and fill that niche? It's definitely true that there are certain types of fish that like this type of pteropod, and that's their major source of food. But the potential consequences on the marine ecosystem are unknown, but there definitely is a consequence of rising CO2 levels in the atmosphere and that carbon dioxide getting into the ocean.
And presumably with that rise and such a huge ocean, the effect will last some decades.
Yes. And like I said, this is directly connected back to the atmospheric CO2 levels. So unless you do something about the atmospheric CO2 levels, this effect is inevitable. And it really is only going to depend on how soon are we going to get there. Basically, by about 660 ppm atmospheric CO2 concentration, the Southern Ocean will become undersaturated with respect to aragonite. So if we want to avoid this effect, we have to halt CO2 levels below that 660 ppm.
And threshold. The effect presumably will spread beyond the Southern Ocean?
Yeah, so I've kind of hinted at a second study looking a little bit more at the Arctic. And what we show with the Arctic is a similar effect, CO2 levels rising in the atmosphere, that carbon dioxide getting into the ocean. But the added complexity of the Arctic is as you remove the sea ice, as the world warms, the sea ice melts away and actually allows more carbon dioxide to get into the ocean. And hence, the effect in the Arctic is even more dramatic than the Southern Ocean. And it starts much sooner.
So it's not simply warming and melting we should worry about, but the sheer chemistry of the oceans.
That's correct.
Very worrying situation.
Yeah, so I think it's a clear example where we really do need to control our CO2 concentrations in the atmosphere. And this really is an effect independent of global warming. And as we show in the Arctic, global warming can make the problem even worse.
Thank you.
All right.
30% of coral reefs crumbling and vast numbers of shellfish gone by the end of the century if we don't get our carbon emissions under control. Dr. Richard Mateer is at CSIRO Marine and Atmospheric Research in Hobart.